let's say you don't believe in a past life, which is okay. But where do you think you came from? Do you think you were just all of a sudden created because your mom and dad got together? You were on the other side before you ever came here. For eons, for all eternity, from the gods now. God didn't one day just decide to make you. You've always been. Because if God decided to make you one day, God's imperfect, and God's not imperfect. So you've always existed. We are just the braver ones that decided to come on the trip to learn for God. We came on the bad camping trip. We came to the boot camp. Yes, we did. And then, of course, we had, this is a very interesting thing to note, and everything I tell you, trust me when I tell you this, you can look it up. Don't read, search, research, find. It's what our Lord said. Our Lord was a Gnostic Christian. He said, seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Actually, he was an Essene. He wasn't Christian. What did he do? Follow himself? No. Goodness. So what we do, the more you seek and find, then you're going to get rid of all this devil stuff. This is so ridiculous. The reason why this was started in the first place actually started way back in the Sumerian culture and the Eastern Indian culture about 4,500 years ago. And the reason why it started was because they couldn't understand why people got sick. Now, this is way prior biblical. So it was the demon of the stomach, the demon of the head, the demon of the earache. See, they didn't know anything about pathology. So it had to be something that entered up into the time of George Washington and even beyond. What did they do with people? They bled them. You know why they bled them? Was to get out the bad humors, the bad demons. Churches said, it's in the Bible, let's get it. No, see, we make too much of the devil. Of course there's evil, rotten people. There's not one singular person in a red suit. Wish there was, we'd know where they were. Evil, evil people that do bad things. I never like to judge anybody because you never know what their chart is involved with everybody else's chart. But have any of you just really looked at Manson's eyes? Ooh. Now, you know that, at least I do, I feel in my heart that is evil looking back. You know how you know when evil looks back? It's because evil is never responsible for itself. And to this day, he never says he did anything wrong. That's the one test of evil. There could be many entities that are wonderful, great, light entities. So just don't think that every time you dislike somebody that they're evil and bad. See, I get these people, it's called spiritual snobbery. I don't like them, so you're evil. No. There's some marvelous entities that I've known that are just absolutely blech, but they're great. I mean, they're good. I just don't happen to like them. And then there's other entities, and you can marry them. You can have them as parents. You can have them as children. You see, dark comes through light. Light comes through dark. This color, no, inside. Inside. This has nothing to do with anything. Because we've all been everything. Trust me. That's why it's so stupid to be prejudiced. That's why it's so ignorant to be prejudiced. We've all been probably every religion, every creed, every color, every station in life. Ugly, old, young, beautiful, wealthy, stupid, all of it. And when you get to the point that you really accept spirituality, then all the other things under here make sense. You don't mind if someone's Baptist or Episcopalian or Catholic. It's marvelously all right. It's okay. You don't have to label yourself. You don't. Because, you see, we should take it from the angels. They're not labeled. They're all pure entities. And except for the fact that we have distinct personalities. But isn't that what we're striving for? That pureness of spirit? Hopefully. But we're not all goody-two-shoes on the other side. Wouldn't you just hate that? If we didn't keep our certain personality? And we all walked up to people we hated and went, and you know, ugh. No, there's some people on this earth that I'm never going to like. I don't care where they are. My brother-in-law, one of them. And that's another thing that stops us from spirituality. People say, how can I see my angels and hear my guides? You know why you're blocked? Do you know what you're blocked from? Two major things. Guilt, which of course is a feeling too that goes along with the unworthiness. And the fact that we are so worried about whether we've forgiven everything. That's a big one. Let me tell you something about how awful guilt is. Only be guilty for things that you did with deliberate intent to be mean. If you have never had a deliberate intent to be mean, then stop it. It's a block. You're not going to hear anything. You won't see anything. Because you're blocking it with negativity. Yes, but I wasn't there when my dad died, and I didn't get to say so-and-so to my mother, and I didn't get to do this for my child. Forget it. They wrote their chart, too. Listen, I stood with my father for 18 hours a stretch. Turned around, went out to get a drink of water, and he died. Now, I almost got caught in the same trap. Saying to myself, you idiot, you're psychic. Why didn't you know? Why didn't you think? You had to go get a glass of water then, of all times. And then I said to myself, stop it. Stop right where you are. Because you know people want to be private when they die. It really is, towards the very end, it's a very private moment between God and them. And more times than not, we miss that. We say, oh, but I didn't get a chance to say goodbye. As if you can't say it now. People are constantly saying to me, tell Mom I love her. Why can't you say it? I'm not the only one that can talk to your mother. You can. People say, well, I feel stupid walking around the house talking. I can tell you of a lot of other things you do that are more stupid. See, isn't it funny? We don't have any problem praying out loud, but you say, talk to a spirit, and everybody goes, what? It's just amazing to me, the logic. Or here's another one. Every religion believes the soul survives. Is that not true? But you say you've seen a spirit, and what do people? Some people do? I was telling that to a Jesuit priest friend of mine. He said, yeah, that is stupid. And I said, stupid, it's insane. It's also ignorant. Listen, there's things you don't have to forgive. How about that? There's things you can't forgive. Besides, I love hating my brother-in-law. I absolutely adore it. It makes me feel tingly all over just to think about it. He's such a... every time I think about it, I think I hate you. You know what makes us sick is the worry of it. Oh, God, I ought to forgive him. Oh, what will happen if I don't? If you enjoy it, do it. Forgiveness is divine. Yeah, if we are on that level, but we're here in the human form. Like I've said before, this woman who had her son killed and this idiot said, now, have you forgiven the four boys that killed your son? She said, no. But I've given it to God. Give it to God. I'll give it to God eventually about my brother-in-law, but right now I'm enjoying it too much. And we take so much guilt for being parents, don't we? And if you're not parents, then you take guilt for that because people think you're selfish, so you can't win. If you have one kid, they think you're selfish. If you have three, then you're a sex fiend. So you can't win. You know, you've been married a few years. People start, well, are you going to have children or not? What's wrong with you? Tell them you're barren. I don't know. Tell them something. Tell them you hate kids. No. See, if you start having that kind of reflection from environmental or cultural, you will go into shock. You notice that it's the most amazing psychic phenomena. That whatever you are worried about, someone will immediately come up and say something to you about it. Get a new haircut and think you look like a dork. And the first person you meet that day will say, oh, you got your haircut, didn't you? Oh, it'll grow out. Just have to work with it. It's the truth. Have a fear over what? Flying, cancer, I don't care what it is. And you'll read about it. You'll see it. People will talk to you about it. It's anything. It's almost like it's a silent signal that goes out. ask your angels to block that from you. Say, remove that from me. Remove that plug, that burr that's in my soul. Remove it. They can remove it. Can God? Yes. But you've got all these, like I said, minions of that you can call on, these marvelous beings. I not only go to Christ, but I also go to the head honcho. I go directly to God. And then from there, calling on all the other gorgeous, marvelous entities that form this circle around us. It would be wonderful if we could go to a burning bush every day in the front room, wouldn't it? People say, but I don't know if I believe in anything. But you see, that doesn't make any difference either because God believes in you. It makes it nicer. And why do I think it's important that you know that you have angels and that you know what your guide is there? Because it makes it familiar to you and it makes the cord stronger rather than, hey, you. And that's okay, too. Because your belief makes their entrance into this vibrational level stronger. How does that happen? I don't know. It's a physical law, though. It seems to be almost a physical law. That once I begin to pierce that veil and know that there's something beyond this veil, it allows it to come through. People say, but what about evil spirits that come through? There's no evil spirits. There are confused spirits. There are spirits that are mad at you because you live in their house and they don't believe they're dead, but they're not evil. We have enough evil people living next door to us or in our home or as our friends. Quit worrying about something that's coming like the boogeyman. And stop, will you please stop? You know, every time I say this, I say, God, the day will come that I won't have to say this anymore. I do 20 readings a day, almost every day when I'm not on the road. And out of 20 readings, I swear to you, it's not as bad as it used to be, I will have at least one-third, I kid you not, before God, still think that they're cursed. I don't know what to do to make that better. I don't know what to do to inform people that that is not a possibility. If anybody should be cursed, it should be me. I'm always blasting these people. You know there's 1,000 Sylvia dolls out there. I should be up here going, ow, 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 you know. Did anybody see the show with Montel with the woman that brought that stupid ring that she was so afraid of and I put it on my finger? And nothing fell off anywhere. Nothing's happened. Do you know that she really loved that ring? I'm telling you, as much as she was afraid of that ring, she had it Federal Express back to her home. And kept. Now, if you really believe that that ring was that bad, wouldn't you have buried the sucker or thrown it away? Why would you keep it? Like that ugly doll that they had on the show the other day. Did you see that? That chunky cheese doll they had? Aside from the fact that the doll was carrying an implant from two little darling twins that had died, which was sad. But the doll was an ugly thing anyway, with the teeth and all that. All cracked up. Throw it away. People say, well, I think that this is jinx. It's not, but if you think that, then get rid of it. Why do you want to keep something like that? So you can blame it, everything in your life on that? And you hear people say that, God, if I just hit it, remove that hall tree, my life would have been so much better. You know where you want to tell them to put the hall tree? Then you have something to worry about. There isn't any one of us in this room that hasn't thought, it crossed our mind, just maybe. When you've had nothing but bad luck, no luck, bad luck, and you start thinking, don't you? No, no, no. You're the one that cursed you. You wrote that thing down. And don't you know that if there was such a thing as curses, if I have any power in the world, you believe in me at all, every pedophile on the street would be dropping dead right this minute. I'd have a cauldron and whatever they do, eye of newt or whatever the hell they do, I would do it. Okay, 5 minutes. It's my granddaughter. She put this on me tonight. It's our special signal to each other. She's very psychic, too. You have no idea. See, I always thought that as time went on, and I said that to Christopher, my son, who's psychic, maybe it'll just dwindle out, whatever we have that's gone back really 300 years. And it's gotten stronger. Actually, she's got the kinetic with the... She said to me today, I have to tell you this. Her mother's birthday was a few days ago, and she said, so what did I get my mama? See, you got skeptics in your own household. It's just... She said, come on, Baghdad. She calls me Baghdad, which means wise woman in Persian, where, you know, we're not. I don't know where that, but anyway. Put on your thinking psyche cap and tell me. I'm like, I said, well, it's a necklace, and it had a citron stone in it. Mm-hmm. Yes. I said, and there was another piece of jewelry, too. It was, I said, oh, earrings in citrus. Mm-hmm. But what was the other one in there? I said, don't you think that's good enough, Ian? No. No, there was another stone in there. So I didn't get it all. Do you see what I mean? So I failed. Like the woman that called me not very long ago. I swear to you, I'm going to... The book after this next book that I'm writing, not the book that's coming out, but I'm writing another one. After that, I'm going to write about the reading room and what people have said to me. This woman calls me up and said, you said I was going to marry a Richard. Well, I didn't. I married a dick. Now, I don't know if that was a nickname or that was a description of what he was like. You know, some of the things people say to me, I told a guy, you know, he was going to go into horticulture. He said, no, I'm in gardening. So sad. You know, we've become a society that doesn't listen. Because we can't listen. You know why we can't listen? Because it's so much negativity we have to listen to. So we just begin to tune things out. And that's another reason why you can't tune into your guides. What you do, because I'm going to show you how to get a hold of your guide tonight. But what I'm telling you is ask them. Don't be afraid to challenge them. Ask them to give you a sign, a signal. Ask them to define who they are. Ask them to come in dreams. Don't be afraid. It used to be that people wouldn't come out of the closet. It's like they saw balls of light by their bed. They would see flashes of light and say, I'm not going to tell anybody that. Or how many times you've been sitting, you see something out of the corner of your eye flitting. That's a guide. We can't all be having the same sort of optical craziness. No. Or you'll feel somebody behind you. How many times have we been driving alone in the car and we keep looking up in the rearview mirror because we just feel somebody's there? It's because they've all gotten in the car and they're riding with you. Why should they run? Exhausting. The thing that is the most important, because I've really worked this over with my guide. I said, well, how do we really get people to know that you're there, the presence of you? And she said, the belief, Sylvia, trust me, just the, even the hoping of the fact that we're there makes it stronger. We use that thread that becomes a rope that we can get in. But you see, we've been so bombarded by that's evil, that's bad. See, God forbid we should ever get as smart as the people that spoke to us. Then we wouldn't have big churches that have all the jewels in them. We don't have to have a church. We all meet here. Don't you see God's here? Don't you know God's here? Of course. We could meet outside. Now, you want to go to church, that's fine, but it really makes me crazy because I've been in some third world countries that have these golden leaf churches and people are starving. I don't know about you. It makes me just... Makes me crazy. Who? Why did anybody think God needed money? I don't, to tell you the truth, I don't even like tithing. You want to know that? I don't. Even though I have a church, I always say to people, I don't believe in tithing. I say when we have our services, when we pass the basket, we say, if you don't have it, you take it out. That's the way it should be, instead of putting it in all the time. No. People say, well, you're supposed to support your church, your ministers. Why? Why? Why would you? Why are you not any more important than the person that is speaking to you? You know, just because I'm talking to you tonight doesn't mean I may be talking to you now, but I'm walking the same way you are. I'm looking the same way you are. I'm searching the same way you are. See, when anybody tells you, see, that's the only thing I'm scared about the millennium is these occult things springing up all over. These people that are going to go sit in the middle of Jerusalem and wait for our Lord to come. Trust me when I tell you this. It's not because I'm such advanced knowledge. He's not coming back. The age of the Messiah is here. The age of the Christ consciousness is here. The age of spirituality is here. Nobody's coming in the clouds anywhere. They thought it was coming in 1,000. How embarrassing. We have to go back in the house. Isn't that embarrassing? I never will forget. I'm not picking on any religion because, like I've told so many of you, that I'm come from a Jewish, Catholic, Episcopalian, Lutheran household. So what am I going to say to anybody? But I never will forget. I had this dear friend, and she was a Jehovah's Witness. And they believe, like many religions believe, that only a certain amount of souls are going to be saved. They had something at that time like 488,321, you know. And I said to her, what number are you? She said, what do you mean? I said, I didn't take account. Because if you're, you know, 432, you're... They had at that time, and anybody can check back in the annals of their religious doctrine, that the world was going to end in, I think it was 74. Somebody said yes. That's right. She died in 74, so it ended. For her. So we got to stop that. This doomsday, you notice it's calmed down on TV. You know why? Because they're getting very concerned that they're making panic amongst people. People are building funny houses with automatic potties in them and stuff. Will you please be reasonable? Do you know what a capitalistic world we have? Do you think for 1 minute the bank's going to let any money go through their fingers because of a stupid computer? When you can't even get your money out when you want it? Are you kidding? No. And how stupid are we that we don't know with a computer? It's one, it's two. Turn it. Y2K or whatever the hell. It just sounds like a cleaning fluid, doesn't it? Oh, but when it comes, you know, we're going to start hoarding water and food. See, that's what's dangerous. And we're going to do a run on banks. See, that's what's so scary. And then when it doesn't happen, what are you going to do with all that food and water? Open up your own grocery store? What are you going to do? The year is going to just come and go, and the next day after that we go to work. That's it. And how depressing, this idiot from New York who's been sending out maps all this time. You will never hear another word about this person that got up one day and hit his head and said, now I know what's going to happen. Well, that's who I believe in.